What's up, guys, and welcome back to WWE Rivalries on the WWE Podcast. And can you believe we are 3 days away from mid-March as the winter is just flying by here? And I don't know where you guys are listening from right now, but living up here in Canada, I know I say it all the time, we get some brutal, brutal winters. And, you know, with the lockdowns, depending on where you live, it's been a tough winter inside for the most part. So I'm really happy to be getting outside, doing our thing, being active, healthy body, healthy mind, that whole thing. And I'm really excited to dive into this rivalry today. And not because it's one of my favorite rivalries, but I think this may be one of the most polarizing rivalries in the history of WWE. And that is Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. That spanned from late 2003 all the way to early 2017 that culminated with their WrestleMania Part 2 match at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, Florida for the Universal Championship. And fun fact is that their match for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania 33 was the first ever WrestleMania match that featured the Universal Championship. Because if you guys remember, Universal Championship has only been in existence for 4.5 years. That's it. So, I mean, off the top of my head, I think there's less than 10 guys to have won the championship. You know, you have Brock, you have Goldberg, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor for a cup of coffee. Quite literally, less than 24 hours he held that championship. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Am I forgetting anyone? The Fiend, of course. So it's a very new championship. And just a quick thing before I dive into this rivalries, would you guys have preferred to have just brought back the World Heavyweight Championship when they revived the brand split in the summer of 2016? I think they should have, because one thing that I'll say is that, you know, they talk about how many times a guy's a world champion. You know, Cena's a 16-time world champion. Triple H is, I think he's a 13-time world champion. Orton's a 14-time world champion. But when they say world champion, like, you're including several different championships. You know, typically it's the WWE title or the World Heavyweight Championship, which in a lot of ways was the successor to the WCW Championship, and before that, it was the NWA World Championship. So I really thought that it was good to have kept, like, just those two world titles, because, you know, the World Heavyweight had a lineage, if you go back to WCW and NWA, and then you had the WWE Championship. But now you bring in the Universal title, and take a guy like Roman Reigns, for example, that he is, I want to say, a 3-time quote-unquote world champion, but in reality, he's only won the WWE Championship once, I think, when he beat, no, he won it twice, because he beat Sheamus in December of 2015, and then Triple H at WrestleMania in 2016 in Dallas. So he's a 4-time world champion, and because he's held the Universal Championship twice now. And I don't know, I mean, I guess in a couple years, we'll just lump the Universal title into the same group as the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship that has been retired for the past 7 years or so. But I just thought it would have been smarter to bring back the World Heavyweight Championship just to not muddy the waters. You know, you don't want to have 3 world titles in the history of the wrestling business, you know what I mean? And on a side note, I just love the way that the World Heavyweight Championship looked. And, you know, we don't talk about it enough, of guys who exclusively won those world titles. Like, even The Undertaker has not won the actual WWE Championship since 2002. And when he had his run, I think he had the World Heavyweight title 2 or 3 times in the late 2000s. It was only the World Heavyweight Championship. And he really made a name for himself on SmackDown holding that title, because in the later years of the Attitude Era and then into the PG Era, the World Heavyweight Championship became synonymous with SmackDown, WWE Championship synonymous with Raw. And I don't know, I just think we don't think back about that World Heavyweight Championship enough. And there's a lot of guys who, like I said, even a guy like Edge, Like, yeah, sure, he won the WWE Championship. I want to say twice he won it, but more times than not, when he was having his quote-unquote world title runs, it was with the World Heavyweight Championship. So, anyway, that's just my small rant, but enough about that. Let's get into Brock versus Goldberg. We'll start back all the way in 2003 in November at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. And just to give you a bit of the lay of the land here, at this time, you had Paul Heyman as the general manager of SmackDown. You had Bischoff and Steve Austin as the co-GMs of Raw. But spoiler alert, Austin actually lost that position at this pay-per-view after a 5-on-5 elimination match, a match I would really suggest you guys go watch. But as the respective world champions on each brand, you had Goldberg as the World Heavyweight Champion on Monday Night Raw and Brock Lesnar as the WWE Champion on SmackDown. And this is when they first crossed paths, was at this pay-per-view. Well, I believe it was Goldberg was conducting an interview backstage and Brock came back and they had a little altercation. Or not, it wasn't a physical altercation, but they started planting the seeds, as a lot of times that's what they start doing around SummerSlam time, or Survivor Series rather, is start planting very modest seeds as to where they might get to in WrestleMania. So at this pay-per-view, Brock was in a 5-on-5 match, Team Lesnar versus Team Angle, a match that his team lost, and Goldberg successfully defended the World Heavyweight Championship against Triple H, who he was really in tied with a feud in during this point. At the succeeding pay-per-view, Armageddon, in a triple threat match, Goldberg loses the championship to Triple H. And this is the last time we would see Goldberg hold this World Heavyweight Championship. And it really closed the book on the program between himself and Triple H. And Kane was also involved in that match. And side note, Kane was only 5 months into his unmasking. So this was a really good run for Kane in 2003. And the first ever Rivalries episode I covered was Kane's inaugural rivalry as the unmasked version of himself against Shane McMahon during this period. So around comes the 2004 Royal Rumble, and at this pay-per-view, yet again, before the Royal Rumble match, we have a run-in between Goldberg and Brock Lesnar while Goldberg's getting an interview, and he was the 30th entrant into this Royal Rumble match, and right before this interview, Brock had just successfully defended the WWE Championship against Hardcore Holly. One of the most underwhelming WWE Championship matches, eh? Kind of weird that Hardcore Holly even got a title opportunity, but this was playing off of some previous history between the two when Brock broke Hardcore Holly's neck with a botched powerbomb. And to be honest, I don't know if that was kayfabe or not. I still to this day have no idea, but nevertheless, very underwhelming WWE Championship match at a major pay-per-view, especially given what the counterpart match was over on Raw for the World Heavyweight title, an epic last man standing match between Triple H and Shawn Michaels that just completely stole the show. And Royal Rumble 2004 was just a great card as a whole, and I would really suggest you guys go watch that. So Brock Lesnar comes up to Goldberg, says, "Why are you interviewing this guy? Why aren't you interviewing me, who just successfully defended his WWE Championship?" And they go their separate ways. But when Goldberg comes to the ring as the number 30 entrant, he starts clearing house. He just starts destroying everything in his path, just until the Beast Incarnate makes a surprising appearance in the Royal Rumble match.
He's done enough to kill all.
Goldberg eliminating Nunzio. Look at these spears. Look at this impact.
Goldberg came in and the way home. That spear was sick.
Former defensive tackle of the University of Georgia. There's no way.
What the hell's Goldberg?
They can put him in this. What is this?
Brock Lesnar! Brock Lesnar! F5! F5's coming!
Yeah! Brock Lesnar!
Yeah!
Lesnar's not in the Royal Rumble match!
Goldberg deserve it! Big ups to Lesnar! Plant his ass with an F5!
Brock Lesnar! Goldberg never saw it coming!
That's the idea! Brock Lesnar will get you from behind! You least expect it, Lesnar attack!
Goldberg and the Lesnar have words earlier!
You're next, you son of a bitch!
And I think you saw that! Goldberg just called Lesnar a son of a bitch.
Well, Lesnar is a cuck son of a bitch. And that's all.
So, right when Goldberg was about to attempt to jackhammer the Big Show, Lesnar runs in, hits him with the F5, and then while Goldberg is screaming profanities at Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle eliminates Goldberg from behind and ends his hopes and dreams of winning the World Heavyweight Championship and going on to main event WrestleMania 20. And this is where things really kicked off on the road to WrestleMania, building these two programs, or building the program between these two, rather. And during this point in WWE, it seemed like every single, or at least for a couple WrestleManias straight, at starting with this one, they had two interpromotional matches that featured a Raw guy versus a SmackDown guy at WrestleMania. At this one, you had Raw's Goldberg against Brock's, SmackDown's Brock Lesnar. You also had Raw's Kane versus SmackDown's The Undertaker. At the following WrestleMania, you had SmackDown's Kurt Angle against Raw's Shawn Michaels and Raw's Randy Orton and Randy Orton against SmackDown's Undertaker. So this was a new concept they were trying out, and it was going to be pretty interesting to see how they built the program between these two, given the fact that they were on two separate shows. So one thing leads to another. They're trying to build this program on the way to No Way Out, which is the final stop to before WrestleMania, at least back then it was. Now they have two pay-per-views, which is completely stupid. But No Way Out, which is a brand-exclusive pay-per-view to SmackDown. And the main event of this card was Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, who had reemerged as the sheriff of Monday Night Raw, gave Goldberg a front row ticket to this match to see what would happen front row center. But before the championship match was underway, Paul Heyman pretty much antagonized Goldberg to get in the ring and told him that if he got involved in the pay-per-view on a brand that he wasn't involved in, he would have him arrested. And this led to a brawl before Brock's match against Eddie between Brock and Goldberg that culminated with Goldberg hitting the jackknife on Brock Lesnar. And then what happened? Paul Heyman freaks out like an animal. He brings out security and Brock Lesnar gets escorted out of the building, or sorry, Goldberg rather, gets escorted out of the building under arrest in handcuffs. So when this match finally gets underway, Goldberg is no longer sitting front row. He's out of the picture. Or so we thought.
He's not going to have a clue what whatever Brock has in mind. I don't know. What is Lesnar doing? I don't know what Lesnar... Wait a minute! What the hell? Spear! That's Goldberg! Oh my God! Where the hell did he come from? What the hell is he doing here? Goldberg just speared Brock Lesnar! Gotta be kidding me! The champion's down! The challenger's down! The referee's down! I didn't get back in when they took him away in cuffs! Ross Goldberg speared our champion!
So with the referee down, Brock looks to capitalize and use the belt to knock out Eddie Guerrero. And Goldberg comes out of nowhere and hits him with a hellacious spear. And really kind of evens the odds here. And we all know how this story went as Eddie Guerrero hits the frog splash and capitalizes his first and only WWE championship. And then this, after Brock drops the belt here, it's really all systems go for Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg against at WrestleMania 20. But a little side story that starts to develop in this is what goes on with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because Stone Cold Steve Austin was the one who gave Brock Lesnar, or Goldberg, sorry, I mix up their names all the time, who gave Goldberg the front row ticket to No Way Out. So, in essence, Brock Lesnar is blaming Stone Cold Steve Austin for losing his championship match. And while Brock Lesnar, he cut this really weird promo where he was like begging Vince McMahon in the middle of the ring, like to give him Goldberg, and he got on his knees, and I remember he screamed like, "Give me Goldberg." It was a very weird promo, and certainly something that we're not used to seeing Brock doing, especially nowadays when he quite literally says nothing and just has Paul Heyman do all of his talking for him. And then on the following Monday Night Raw, Vince comes out and says that he does not want this match because it would be too out of control. These guys are too, like, big loose cannons. There wouldn't be someone who would be able to keep this match under control. Insert Stone Cold Steve Austin, who comes out and advocates for this match to happen, to which Vince McMahon says, "The match will take place, but with Stone Cold Steve Austin as the special guest referee." And to give Stone Cold Steve Austin practice being an official, which why would Stone Cold Steve Austin need practice? He officiated a match that night between Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon. But while this match was taking place, we got an unexpected visitor from SmackDown. When this match is taking place and it spills and the action goes to the outside between Vince and Eric Bischoff, which, on a side note, probably the worst technical match in the history of Monday Night Raw. Eric Bischoff versus Vince McMahon. What a tire fire. But, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool, you know, Nitro versus Raw, that whole angle. But, I mean, whatever. This was clearly a means to an end because while Austin has his back turned and his focus is towards the action on the outside, Brock shows up and hits him with an F5 and then steals his ATV. Because if you guys remember, Stone Cold Steve Austin was driving around an ATV at this time as the sheriff. And Brock brings it to SmackDown. So in addition to Brock versus Goldberg, now you have this wrinkle of Brock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's pretty cool, right? Because these two were supposed to have a King of the Ring qualifier match in 2002, almost 2 years prior to this, which led to Stone Cold Steve Austin walking out on WWE in real life. So obviously they didn't really play on that because that's real life as opposed to kayfabe. But for everyone who actually knew what actually went on behind the scenes, it was kind of cool in that regard, especially when you look back on it. This led to a pretty cool segment on SmackDown where Brock Lesnar basically called out Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it led to Stone Cold Steve Austin going to SmackDown to retrieve his ATV. And I remember, like, Brock was standing in the ring with Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman, like, set up, like, this, like, barricade of wrestlers, like, this entire, like, army blocking, like, the entrance to SmackDown onto the ramp to the ring where Brock Lesnar was. And I remember, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin was just walking past all of them, and all of the guys were moving, and they finally got to the Big Show, and then finally, like, the Big Show just, like, had the stare down with Austin, and then he just moved and basically fed Brock Lesnar to the wolves. And then this led to a pretty cool brawl between Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold Steve Austin, which we had never yet seen before.
In Austin. This has got the ingredients for an explosion. Austin and Lesnar. No, oh, yeah, Lesnar. Austin will be the referee Sunday, but he's taken to Lesnar. The right hand, and here comes Lesnar. Lesnar is out cold. Puts the punch. Austin Lesnar exchanging blows here on SmackDown. That's Ross Austin. SmackDown's Lesnar. Austin Trouble.
Oh my God. You know, even, what is it, 17 years ago, Paul Heyman is still just so great. You know, like, they start brawling, Austin and Brock Lesnar, that is, and Paul Heyman's just, like, looking on in the ring so concerned, then the action spills back into the ring, and then Heyman's losing his mind, takes a stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'll have all the time in the world for Paul Heyman. But this was so cool because, especially in this era of the brand split where we never saw crossover, and I gotta give WWE credit that aside for some minor hiccups, since they moved to SmackDown to Fox, so just over a year, they've been pretty consistent about abiding by the brand split rule. So I'll give them credit where credit is due. And so far, so good since SmackDown moved to Fox. But this was a time where it was even more strict. And it had been that way for about 2 years running at this point. So we had not seen Stone Cold Steve Austin on SmackDown in just about 2 years. And it felt like a big deal. It really did feel like a big deal when a star from the opposite brand went over. And seeing SmackDown feature Stone Cold Steve Austin, just with the blue and the fist, which was the old set back then, it made for a really cool visual. And then the brawl between Austin and Lesnar, who had never had a confrontation before this angle, was even cooler. And look, it was just a really cool bit, and it was the go-home SmackDown before WrestleMania 20. So I know we got sidetracked a bit with Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, but to properly paint the picture, you had to really realize what kind of build it had that really involved Stone Cold Steve Austin. And in a lot of ways, it became Austin versus Brock. And obviously, they couldn't do Austin versus Brock because Austin was no longer an in-ring competitor at this point. But I think that WWE felt the importance to at least give the fans something of that nature of Brock versus Austin, because we had not yet seen it after Brock. We had never seen it, rather, after Austin walked out 2 years prior to this. So we get to WrestleMania 20, and we are fed probably the most underwhelming WrestleMania match in the history of the card. And that's not even exaggerating it, because the build to this match was damn good. It was a damn good build. And the wrinkle of Austin versus Brock underneath Brock versus Goldberg, just everything about it was great. And then the match happens and just an absolute travesty unfolds in the ring. They boo it out of the building. You know, after the match or during the match, I think Brock is giving the finger to the fans. And it was just, I was, 10 at the time, so I had no idea what was going on, and this was well before the internet phase really took over the planet, but it seemed like it was well documented that by the time they got to this match that everyone knew that Brock was leaving, and that Goldberg was leaving, and I think Stone Cold Steve Austin left after this, although the booing had nothing to do with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And look, this match was just a complete dud. Very bad match. And it was a brilliant WrestleMania. For me personally, it's a top three WrestleMania of all time. And arguably the second best right under WrestleMania 17. But, I mean, to be quite honest, this match just kind of, it was the stain of the WrestleMania, and it really shouldn't have been. Because there were, you know, like, Goldberg versus Brock, Austin as the ref. Like, who would have thought there would have been such a dud? But, you know, it didn't go that way. The fans really turned on the match, and at least we got Austin stunning both guys and having a beer bash following the match. So then, 13 years go by, and in late 2016... Goldberg makes his return to the company, and it was first revealed, I believe, through the WWE video game, as he was like an unlockable character. I'm pretty sure that that's the way they went about it. And he comes back on Monday Night Raw, and to be honest, I was excited. You know, Goldberg, I thought he was going to come back, do maybe one final run, put a bow on his career, go into the Hall of Fame, you know, do that whole dance. And we won't get to everything post-2017 and post this rivalry. Maybe I'll touch on it at the end just to, you know, blow a gasket a bit and ruffle some feathers. But, you know, I was just like, okay, I could see one more run of Goldberg, kind of like what Sting had done 3 years prior to this. And what happens? They dive right headfirst back into a feud with Brock Lesnar, who is arguably the biggest heel in the company at this time. And this ends up culminating at a much anticipated rematch 13 years in the making at the Survivor Series pay-per-view in 2016 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I had four friends at this pay-per-view, and let me tell you, they said that this was one of the better ones they had ever been to. And this match main evented the card. And that's saying something, because there was the first ever 5-on-5 elimination match between Raw and SmackDown. I know they do it every single year now, but this was the first time they had revisited this since 2005. And you had Team SmackDown of Shane McMahon, Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton against Team Raw of Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman, and Seth Rollins. So for Brock versus Goldberg to main event this card, it was something pretty insane, and you knew that they had something big up their sleeve. But what ended up coming of this match is something that I don't think anyone really saw coming.
No fear from Goldberg.
A spear! Goldberg hit Lesnar with a spear! A spear from out of nowhere!
Goldberg may shock the world! Goldberg looking to end this early!
Lesnar's hurt! Lesnar's hurt! Goldberg again with a spear! Two spears to Lesnar! Brock's in trouble!
I don't think anybody expected this sort of dominance right out of the gate from Goldberg.
The beast may be on the verge of getting slain.
What an incredible moment here! Lesnar trying to catch his breath, trying to make it to his feet.
The icon is stalking the beast incarnate.
Lesnar can't even get up. Goldberg again. He's got Lesnar center of the ring.
Goldberg's looking for a jackhammer.
He's looking for the jackhammer. Goldberg looking for the jackhammer. A jackhammer to Lesnar. Here's the cover. Oh, my God. Goldberg beat Brock.
So, two spears, a jackhammer, and good night the lights for Brock Lesnar. And I gotta say, this was incredibly smart booking. Because who could have foreseen this coming? And I know that, you know, just swerving people and catching them off guard just for the sake of it isn't always smart. But I really think this was good booking. And look, we hadn't, like, remember, this is 4 years ago. We hadn't already been exhausted to the bone yet of Goldberg. You know, this is the first match in 12 and a half 13 years. So, you know, for Goldberg to come in, squash Brock, who had really just for the preceding 3.5-4 years at this point was just squashing guy after guy after guy, it was kind of cool to see Brock get a taste of his own medicine. And then, you know, this leads to them, you know, having some on and off altercations. And then again, they come face to face at the Royal Rumble in 2017. In the Royal Rumble 2017, a bunch of legacy stars in this match, including these two and The Undertaker. And Brock's in the ring, and when Goldberg comes into the ring, makes his entrance, he eliminates Brock, like, right away again. So, you have him squash Brock at Survivor Series in, I think it was less than 3 minutes, I think 2 minutes and change. Then in the Royal Rumble, he eliminates Brock with little to no effort. And this leads, and this just continues this build that Brock's kryptonite is Goldberg, and he just cannot get past this guy. But this is where things kind of start taking a turn for the worst in terms of Goldberg and his relationship with the fans. Because following the Royal Rumble, we get the Fastlane pay-per-view, and then Universal Champion Kevin Owens is challenged to a match by Goldberg. And as soon as I heard this, I started to get a bit worried. And lo and behold, Fastlane comes and goes, and with a little distraction by Chris Jericho on the ramp, Goldberg squashes Kevin Owens, ends his 6-month run as Universal Champion, arguably the best Universal Championship run to date aside from what Roman Reigns is doing right now. I loved Kevin Owens' Universal Championship run, and I know technically Finn Balor was the first ever Universal Champion, but for all intents and purposes, Kevin Owens was, and he was the guy who legitimized that belt, in my opinion. I really wish he would get another run, hopefully sooner rather than later. And to see Goldberg just completely squash him, take the championship, and then, you know, that's it. We never see Kevin Owens get that run again. It still kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But before we get into the whole post-WrestleMania 2017 Goldberg, I want to just put a bow on this program with Lesnar. And this win of Goldberg was really just to kind of tee up his loss to Brock Lesnar, which is what took place at WrestleMania 17, and gave Brock Lesnar his first ever Universal Championship victory. And by this point, it had been 2 years since Brock had held the World Championship. You know, here we go again. He had never won the Universal Championship before, only WWE Championship. But now he wins the Universal, and now you have the whole, you know, well, they're both World Championship things. But I digress. So Brock wins his first Universal Championship, his first World Championship in 2 years, and sets up, I think, an 18-month-long run of Brock Lesnar running roughshod on Monday Night Raw, holding the belt hostage. I won't get into that because I actually enjoyed Brock Lesnar's runs as world champion. But, and this closes the book on Brock versus Goldberg. And you know what? I think that in a lot of ways, aside from the fact that Kevin Owens kind of had to take the bullet to push this rivalry forward and progress it into its culmination at WrestleMania 33, I thought they booked this program perfectly upon Goldberg's return. Because at first you get Goldberg looking like a badass and giving Brock a taste of his own medicine. And I think by this point, given Brock's, you know, just dominant run over the preceding 3-4 years before Goldberg showed up, it was kind of refreshing for the fans and something the fans were, you know, clamoring for, to see Brock get his ass kicked a bit. But then the payoff is Goldberg going away and Brock standing tall, as Brock still has a lot more prime years left at this juncture than Goldberg does. And obviously we know what Brock has done since then. If Goldberg just went away after this and gone ducked into the Hall of Fame like he did at the following WrestleMania in 2018, I think we would have fond memories of Bill Goldberg. But everything after this program has just been a disaster. And I think, you know, the biggest highlight of that, or low light on it, depending on which way you want to look at it, is what took place in Saudi Arabia against The Undertaker. Him dethroning The Fiend in the most underwhelming Universal Championship match ever, pretty much beating him with a suplex. Then him beating, and then, you know, his match with Braun Strowman at last year's WrestleMania, then comes back to challenge Drew McIntyre this year. I just really wish Goldberg had just gone away after this program, because I think that they did everything right in this program besides him beating Kevin Owens, although I understand why they did it and I kind of let it slide. But aside from that, I thought his program with Brock was really cool. He got his final world championship run that he so desperately wanted so his son could see it. I get it. Fine. Whatever. It's not that big of a deal that he beat Kevin Owens. But I just really wish that he would have, you know, not kind of destroyed his public perception as a guy who just comes back and gets whatever he wants whenever he so chooses, like he's done over the past 2 years since this appearance and since this in this program with Brock upon his return in 2016. But aside from that, I think that Brock versus Goldberg is one of the more polarizing rivalries because it's two part-time guys, two guys who are limited in the ring, two styles of wrestling that aren't meant that popular in the modern day era of wrestling. A lot of guys like, you know, like, or a lot of fans rather, like that flip-flop and flying style, that indie style of wrestling. So I think a lot of people resisted this program, especially as it drawed out and was one of the main events to WrestleMania 33 featuring the Universal Championship. But all in all, I think it was a pretty good rivalry and one that often gets overlooked and is a bit tainted because of what Goldberg has done in the years that succeeded this program that culminated at WrestleMania 33 in 2017. Well, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25, or you can email Matt at RealWWEPodcast@gmail.com, or follow him on Twitter at Wrestling_Audio. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I will talk to you next week.